It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I'm going to pull over and give you my undivided attention as soon as I get to the top of this hill.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Jorge Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks as always for making your way here and checking out the series. I do hope you hit the subscribe button. I put out three new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. All the usual spaces, that does include Spotify and Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Recent episodes have included my guests Luis Post from Veruca Salt, actor Jason Scott Lee, as we talked about the 30th anniversary of Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. We had Kara Jackson on here, the band Daughter, the cast of Outlander, Josh Homme of Queens of the Stone Age, Dave Davies of The Kinks, the band Inhaler, Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam, and the cast of Apple TV Plus's City on Fire. Just a few of the recent episodes that you can catch on the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I get to catch up with Nick Hexum of the band 311. Now, they're on tour this summer, and we're going to be talking a little bit about that, but mostly we're going to be time traveling. It's the 30th anniversary of their debut album, Music, the 20th anniversary of their 2003 album, Evolver, and they're working on a new record. Nick's going to dive into his love of early REM and The Clash. We'll talk about how much confidence he had in his own band during his high school years before anyone else knew about the group, and the melodic contrast they would go to face during the late 90s, during the more aggressive rock period with bands like Limp Bizkit and Korn. Nick's going to go on to praise Ben Folds' lyricism, one of our similar love of an artist with Ben Folds. And we'll also talk about how much the Beatles had an influence on Evolver back in 2003. And then, of course, it's all about the new record. We're going to go for the scoop and hear about how maybe it's going to be a heavier record and why. All of that's and more. We're talking Music. We're talking Evolver. We're talking with Nick Hexum of 311.
Hello.
It's good to have you back here. And not really about anything at the moment, I guess. You got a few tour dates happening around, some album anniversaries. Maybe the easy place to start out is what's going on? What's going on in your world right now?
I would say it's like a nice blend of family and work. You know, I super engaged with the kids, but then there's also some new 311 music brewing and kind of weekend warriors, I call it, sort of mostly home until late summer, and then we've got more of like a actual tour. But yeah, there's new music brewing, and it's very exciting.
I love hearing that. I'm probably going to ask more about that later. And as far as the shows go, one of them that is announced, well, is actually right here in Louisville. You guys are going to be here in September for the Louder Than Life Festival. I'm just looking at, like, it's you all. I think this is a specific day. On the same day, it's you and the Foo Fighters and Weezer and Rancid and Coheed and L7 and White Reaper.
Kind of strong.
Be good to see you guys, but I know a lot's going on. You know, I mentioned the anniversaries, and it was, what, earlier this year, your debut album Music turned 30 years old, which I don't know where the hell that time went. But is that a part of the year? I mean, is that a part of the celebrations happening this year?
Yeah. You know, we were figuring out good things to do to commemorate the albums with, you know, cool vinyl reissues and maybe remixes and that kind of thing. But it's just sort of, it's fun to go back and listen to think about, you know, your debut album is kind of a greatest hits of your formative years, all your best ideas coming out at once. And that's why a lot of debuts are really strong. But I can hear that, the excitement in that album, like it just brings me back to, like, wow, we're finally in like a serious LA studio and just exploding with energy. And and then that's why a lot of bands have a sophomore slump, but I think on Grassroots after that we went into some really cool creativity. And then for some reason we decided, our producer talked us into recording in our living room of our little rented house, but it turned out okay. And then we went back to like more of a studio approach, a regular studio, for the Blue album. And then that was our big breakthrough. But yeah, that there's just some magic about a debut. And so it's fun to look back as we celebrate the 30 year of our first album.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say ahoy or land ho and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. Geico's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with Geico.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nick Hexum of 311. As you said, and most bands, they deal with this. If you ask fans, you probably have it for the bands that you like, the artists that you like, where there is something magical about that first record. And that's sort of a bittersweet thing. At least you've got something that connects with people. But also, you know, as an artist, you're like, but I've done so much since. But you guys skirted that. I mean, and what do you attribute? Is it because it didn't, you know, it didn't blow? You guys didn't blow up until you're like, you know, third album, as we were talking about with Blue. But is that a part of it? I mean, because so much of it to me is attachment, right? It's how I felt when I heard that. I mean, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm, but that's part of it. Like when people talk about 311, like I love the first record, but it's probably not my first go-to record. You guys got better and better as you went along.
Yeah, I do think that it there's something physiologically about the age of the listener where, like I'm friends with the guys from Turnstile and they're a little younger. So their big exposure to us was more like the Sound System Transistor era. So that to them is like our debut because it was when we pierced their brains. So that has that sort of debut magic to them. So But that's the same reason why, as we were looking at your awesome poster collection, and I was thinking about, you know, REM, Murmur, and Reckoning, and it's just the stuff I listened to in high school will always have such a special place for me. And when The Clash blew my mind in junior high, like there's music will affect you in a deeper way when you're at that age. But I also, that doesn't mean that you can't be deeply affected when you get older. Like I'm having a drum and bass revival of like hearing this crazy esoteric electronic music that I'm obsessed with, and I'm getting very into new styles of music right now. So your brain doesn't have to close, but there is a certain openness, just kind of like, you know, your first love, your first kiss, your first whatever. It's like that's gonna be a special place. So it's fun to hear. Yeah, one guy said to me, 311 is to me what the Clash is to you, Nick. And I was like, oh wow, that is like such a special place to have in someone's heart.
And you know, it's one of those things you can't exactly, like, how do you feel about that? Like, you know how the Clash makes you feel, but you're so on the inside of your own music. Are you able to understand that's the stuff that you've helped create means that same thing?
Well, I sometimes fantasize about how cool it would be just to like temporarily have my memory erased so I could hear our band for the first time, because it has like all these elements that I mean everything that I like to hear in music I write in my writing and we put in our band. So it'd be like so cool to be able to hear 311 for the very first time. But yeah, no, it is fun just to think. I like, you know, when I meet fans and they say, you know, you were our first wedding dance song was to you guys, and all these different little special things are my high school graduation quote was your lyric and stuff. So knowing that we're part of big events in people's lives, or people that meet through our fan base, people met through my personal Discord. I mean, it's just a very cool thing to be part of these life events.
I thought I was doing that service once of telling a few people about my first, you know, as you're saying, oh, it was our wedding song. Oh, it was, you know, my first kisses. Both of them landed weird when I said that. I don't know why that was, because my two first kisses, both in the same night, was at a dance in middle school. And one of them was to Aerosmith's Crazy, written by, I can't think of his name right now. I'm blanking on his name. He wrote a lot of the Aerosmith tracks back then. But and then it was Black Hole Sun. That was my And when I told Chris that, you know, back when he was still around, it was like, ah, okay.
Yeah, because there is, I suppose, a darkness about come and like take away everything. There's a certain nihilism to Black Hole Sun underneath it. So I hope it was a good kiss, though.
You know what? That's the thing, though. The song didn't even matter. It wasn't about the song. Right. We were young. We wanted to kiss, and that just happened to be it. But that's what stuck there. That's
yeah.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nick Hexum of 311. I was going back and reading some of the interviews from around the time that you guys, you know, started with this in 1993. And your confidence was so interesting to me. And there was a quote, and I don't remember what the interview was, or who the person was, but you had said, if you're not sure that you have what it takes, give up. Like, and that you knew, at that point you said you knew in high school that you were going to do it and that you wanted to be successful and you wanted to be famous and all of this stuff. Like, how are you so sure? I mean, is that, do you have to pile on the false bravado at some point just to push through, or you're like, no, it's going to happen?
I think it's a bit of like a secular faith. Like it's a faith feeling, but not in like a religious way. It's just sort of like, just making a decision to manifest something, and also just reasoning through, like, why not me? You know, why not us? You know, is there something inherent that we haven't gotten, that we don't have in our band, that we should be, you know, eliminated from this possibility? No, we're gonna do whatever it takes, and that we are going to be prepared to just put in crazy amount of work. And you do, and it's a very flip answer to say, if anybody can talk you out of it, then give up, because you're going to hear no, 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 again and again and again. And there was, you know, a lot of sort of, I think there's the fake it till you make it. It's kind of like doing a startup where, you know, to get certain label people, music lawyers on the phone or whatever, I basically would just have to BS my way through a conversation and talk about, oh, I was talking to this guy over here, you know, reading in Rolling Stone or in Spin or Music Connection was the, one of the trade sort of music mags out here in LA, and just name dropping people I'd never met, just like totally bullshitting to just to try and, you know, conjure some sort of excitement. And if you say it with enough confidence, they don't question it, and you just keep moving forward.
Seem to have worked. But it seems like also that there was probably stuff stacked against you guys. You'd moved to LA, but you're from the Midwest. It's hard to break out of the Midwest, even in the 90s where everybody got a record deal. You know, maybe that came a, you know, a little bit later than when you guys picked that up. But you know, coming from there and the style of music sort of hadn't hit yet. I mean, what you guys were doing. And, you know, and as I look back, I was thinking about that, too. Like, so few bands seemed at home, you know, when you play the decades game, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s, as you all did. You know, it became heavier and you guys became heavy. Like, what was your view of the scene around that time? Because it's felt like it built around you in a little bit of a way.
Well, I remember A&R people that were literally telling me that they're looking for the next Eddie Vedder. Like, this was grunge time, you know, in the early 90s. But we were more interested in this kind of hybrid music that, like, Jane's Addiction, Chili Peppers, Fishbone, Beastie Boys to a certain extent. That was the stuff that really got us excited. And that, like, the grunge was cool, but it wasn't funky enough. Like, we were very into, like, Public Enemy and dance hall reggae and Cypress Hill and stuff like that. So there was definitely people that were put off by the hip hop element in our music. But you know, it was a pretty odd way that of all people that it was a Southern rock label in Capricorn that heard the hooks and the sort of musicality of it that believed in us. But it would, I guess it was kind of unlikely that we would be signed by a Nashville label that was, you know, Phil Walden and the people from Capricorn had cut their teeth on, you know, Allman Brothers and Dixie Dregs and all this Southern rock. So it was pretty unlikely. So I have to, you know, applaud them that they believed in us. And then also Eddie Offord, the producer that did our first couple albums, and he came from a very, you know, the roots of Prague with Yes and Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and this very sort of unusual, very creative English art rock. So he saw something in us, but we were kind of out of step with all the grunge that was going on at the time. But I knew from, you know, watching bands like U2 that if you just find your thing and stick to it, you just keep doing it. And same with REM. And, you know, Kurt Cobain saw that in REM, that if you just keep doing your thing, the culture will come around to you. And that's what we did. And it worked out a little later than we thought. I mean, on Grassroots, on our second album, we said, we're going to put our stuff in storage and stay on tour until our album goes gold. Well, that didn't quite happen, but we did tour for like just, I mean, every night. We once played 21 shows in a row without a day off, just we were just had so much energy and partying our asses off at the same time somehow, and playing every night and driving the RV ourselves and everything. It was a crazy time, and I'm happy that we survived. With, of course, we did have an RV fire, but that's a different story. But you know, we said we were going to tour Tell Gold, and that didn't quite happen, but it did happen later. And then it happened fairly suddenly. I mean, going the viral at the time was basically just all of a sudden coming back to a city, and the shows were packed. And then after we had built up the fan base on our own a little bit, that's when, you know, MTV gave us a buzz clip, and that was kind of like a crowning achievement at the time. That meant like, this is the band that everybody's talking about. And then the shows just got ridiculously large.
Up on the Buzzbin CD and the X Games CD, which I think I still have both of those from around that time.
Nice.
And you know, and it's funny too, because so you guys start blowing up, and again, alternative as we knew it at the time gets heavier in itself, and that sort of feels like it's a bit more lockstep with what you guys are doing. And then when it's about at its heaviest, you guys drop what, the third single from a record, and it's Amber, and it's like the least heavy thing, and it becomes your biggest song.
Yeah. I mean, even a little before that, like when let's see, I guess what was on the radio at the time of Nookie, then we did a song, you know, our single was Flowing off Sound System, which was like a bouncy sort of British influenced kind of pop song. I mean, it was still a little bit heavy, and then, and you know, Come Original and stuff, not a particularly heavy song, but yeah. You know, I always just wanted to be very eclectic and have a very broad range. So that's why from, you know, our first album, you had a song like Hydroponic, which was sort of a like a Black Sabbath slow grinding heavy song, paired with My Stony Baby, which was like a light funk kind of influenced by the Meters and stuff too. So we tried to really push the limits of what you could put together on an album. And I think when everything got, I always liked the heaviness, but when things got so, I don't know, there was this destructiveness and this anger to it. And so I just really, you know, called them out and made fun of like all the anger that was going on songs like Misdirected Hostility, another one, Hostile Apostle. I was like, you know, is this really the anger that you're swallowing through these musicians? Is this really what you want to feed yourself on? Like, is that, I do think that there's a time and place for anger, but it just became the default thing. And now when you go back and watch like the Woodstock 99 documentary, and this, all this like, white rage and misogyny and, you know, all this stuff that was going on, I was like, thank you. This is what I was saying was not cool at the time. And now we can finally look back and be like, what were these people so pissed off about? You know what I mean? This was a time of total prosperity. The Soviet Union had fallen, and it was an economic prosperity. And yet at the same time, there was this feeling of like, we're being ripped off. And it was hard for me to understand. And so I made fun of it, you know what I mean? And it was a little out of step with the times, but that's okay.
Similarly, do you remember the Ben Folds song, Rockin' the Suburb? Because he sort of put his sights right there. I was trying to actually remember the line, and of course, any other time I think about that, but some about being male, middle class, and whites, you know, and yeah, just the anger. It's like, yeah, right, that's...
I actually did it. He is... just he's such clever lyrics. I did a song of his, I did a cover of his song Battle of Who Could Care Less.
Oh yeah.
Because that is like the most clever lyrics about like, let's have a contest of who can care less, you know? and just being so jaded and only only liking things ironically. And to me, I was like, you know what, I'm going to put myself out there and say what I do like about the world. And yeah, you can say that I'm gushy, you can say that I'm like embarrassingly sincere, but like, that's, to me, that is more of a challenge than just to sit back and criticize.
Excellent song to cover. Also, I just caught a cold from Ben Folds 2 weeks ago, so it's okay. You got the cover, I got the cold. That's
okay. Well, tell him I said what up, and I'm a big fan. But I don't want his cold, though.
You don't want the cold. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Nick Hexum of 311. You're talking about those sounds and how important it was to you, and that sort of pulls things into the Evolver record, which it's the 20th anniversary of that one. And listening to sometimes Jack's Rule the Realm, and that's what I was thinking. Like you all, like in songs like that, I wonder, you all could have been any band at any given time. You had a defined sound. And I don't know if that ever felt, I mean, maybe that's just the natural ingredients that you all come up with. You know, there is the 311 thing that we sort of think of, whatever that is. But there are those moments, you know, were there ever, I mean, I'm almost surprised that you guys didn't like do the Green Day thing and make a band with a different name just so you could be something completely different for a second, you know?
Yeah, I mean, some, you know, I guess XTC did that, and they have a different version, you know, in disguise for a little while. But I think, yeah, the Evolver stuff came where I was really becoming a student of the Beatles and analyzing songs like Happiness is a Warm Gun and being like, wow, you don't have to repeat. You can just go into a new movement. And even so, like, sometimes Jack's Rule the Realm, I was like, we're going to start one place and we're never going to go back there. Just go into, there'll be I'll repeat the lyrics. So there's a bit of a lyrical thread, but musically, we're just going to go into a new area, just totally exploring new places. And that's something that I think that was the first, what we call epics within the band, where we're just going to go into new areas and not necessarily go back. And then, you know, I think we had a bit of a renaissance of that on the last couple albums. Songs like Wildfire and Too Late and Stainless, where we just keep going into new movements rather than repeating. And some of our fans really like that, and other ones maybe prefer more of a traditional song structure, but whatever, it's all good.
I mean, when you got a catalog this big, you can still give something to everybody, you know?
That's right.
That's it. And just quickly, while I was, you know, going back to Evolver, because going back and just listening to that, I mean, there's such great things in there. I mean, Same Mistake Twice still sounds fantastic. Seems Uncertain, it was one of those like, wow, that's, you know, you got that line, in times of trouble, everyone joins a team. And, you know, in the way that songs continue to have their voice, to raise their hand, that really feels like one of them that you could have written 4 years ago, three, whatever, you know, kind of sitting there.
Yeah. And then I go on to say, no one waves a flag for all human beings. So I actually went and found there's a flag of Earth that is like a flag for all Earthlings. And it's basically like, it shows the sun and the Earth and the moon. So it's just kind of identifies like, this is our planet, all of ours, instead of like just ours, not including them. And I love that. So, you know, of course people need to, feel a kinship, but it is possible to feel a kinship with all living things, all humans. And I don't know, something that I'm going to hang on to.
Yeah, when you can, what is it? I mean, people talk about that. When you can make yourself feel a little bit smaller in the universe, it's sort of when, you know, a lot of people feel a bit more grounded. The other day I Googled, you know, what's in the middle of the Milky Way, which is what our sun revolves around. And once you get into that, you're like, I am nothing. Nothing at
Yeah.
all.
Yeah, it makes your problems seem a little smaller when you realize how small we are.
Well, that kind of brings us into the present anyway. And 30 years of that record, 30 some odd years of the band. Do you feel like you're still getting firsts at this point?
Yeah, I feel that since we had a bit of a break, with the pandemic, everything got, we did find a way to still be productive and doing the live streams from our studio, live from the Hive during the pandemic. But now we're really getting everything rolling again, and it does feel like a breath of fresh air. And there's still a lot of exciting ideas to come out, and it. I think maybe if I had to say where we're going musically a little bit, we didn't plan this, but the first two songs that I brought forth for the band to learn, and the first two songs that Chad brought forth, all were in drop D. So there's like, tuned down E string tuned down to D, which so it's like some heavier riff. So maybe the pendulum has swung back to a little heaviness. But it feels exciting, and there's just a lot of gratitude about we get to still do this. Yeah, everybody's getting along really good. We've got a manager we're working with now we're really excited about, and it feels good.
It's interesting, especially this early on, because it's usually when you look back, you know what defines that era, musically speaking. And to ask any artist, like, what do you think is defining this musical era in the moment? I know that's a little bit more tricky, but drop D, the heaviness aside. I mean, and I guess this question can mean many things, the way Evolver meant the Beatles or something like that, like what's feels like is defining this new era for you all?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm kind of, when people say like, I can't wait to hear where your next album goes, I'll be like, yeah, me too. I don't really know how it's going to end up, but even though those first few songs sounded really heavy, then there are some really pretty moments and like uplifting kind of lighter inspirational kind of moments as well. So I just want to make sure it's very diverse, because I feel any sort of self-imposed fences or boundaries that you put around yourself, and it's usually out of because of expectations of like, well, I'd like to do this, but the fans might not like that. No, you just got to break through that and just go wherever your heart takes you, and just see what happens. And that's the fun of the journey.
I've enjoyed the journey. I've enjoyed this conversation too, and now I'll be here a while stuck in my head because what an accidental mission statement that's turned out to be.
That's true. It proved to be correct. We will be here a while, and we have been, and we will continue to be.
That could have gone wrong, couldn't it? It could have
Look
easily
at that.
gone wrong. Any other band who did that? That's the joke. The bands who put out greatest hits and they call it Volume One. I thought, every time that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
You don't get them unless you've already got that in the rear view. That's bad. But worked out
That's
for you guys. So
risky.
congratulations,
Good to speak with you.
Nick. Great to speak with you too. Thanks for taking the time. And yeah, I'll see you in September, louder than life.
All right. Say hi there in Louisville.
My thanks to Nick Haxum, 311. On tour this year, new album on the way soon, it sounds like. Dig deeper into this podcast, into my series, and you'll find our 2019 interview with Nick as well, and Peanuts also. I think I included an earlier interview with Peanut on there that we had a couple years before that in the Kyle Meredith With podcast. So thanks to Nick, thanks to you for checking out, and hit that subscribe button. Again, you get three new interviews every single week, a new one delivered every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at Spotify, Apple Podcast, at NPR. WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. You're going to hear lots of favorite classic tracks. You're going to hear new songs, album anniversary celebration, lots of music news, and of course, bonus interviews as well. One of my recent shows, in fact, I played music from U2, Soul to Soul, Squeeze, Tom Waits, Southern Culture on the Skids, A Tribe Called Quest, Killer Mike, Talking Heads, Tears for Fears, Queens of the Stone Age, Air, Diana Ross, Joni Mitchell, Sade, and an interview with Feist. That's just a recent show and what you can expect, the type you can expect, every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. And, of course, you can also find me on the social medias, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all three of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Let me run home. All right, I'll be back on by within 15 minutes.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.